Come on in.
Hallelujah.
And you are alive. We are live. Hey, Cora's here. This is a good party, you guys.
Well, yeah. Hallelujah.
Yep.
Something more than.
Okay, well, Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
I'm going to try again. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
That couple over there is still not paying attention. What are you guys on a date? What's going on over there?
That's okay. We'll wait.
We'll wait. We're waiting on you, Brent. No, that's okay. It just didn't seem right without you. That's all. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Ooh, you guys are too excited. Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
All right, God is good all the time. Let's have our minister Ryan pray us in, and then we're gonna get started. Amen. I hope everybody got the notes. If you didn't, there are some on the front table. It will be easier for you to follow if you have the notes. So, if you want to, okay, let's pray in.
Hallelujah. All right, everybody. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we come before you tonight, right now, through the redeeming sacrifice of your only begotten Son, the Messiah, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who we declare, as your word declares, is the only name under heaven by which we must be and the only name that anybody can be saved. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you are glorified, honored, and praised by the study of your word tonight. Lead and speak through Pastor Sandy as he teaches us. May he decrease and may you increase. Father, we thank you for our dear pastors, Pastor Ben, Pastor Sandy, who have been your shepherds leading us through the wilderness these many years. We pray for a fresh anointing upon each of them by your Holy Spirit, and a fresh anointing upon us as we strive to follow you. You are good shepherd. May we all be producing the fruit that is in keeping with repentance. I pray, Father God, that we, your called out ones, are united in our love for you and our love for your truth. May we show your love and your charity towards each other, and may it provoke the world to jealousy and increase their desire to know you personally, just like we do. Father, I pray that tonight you would inspire us to read your word diligently every day for ourselves, to be Bereans, to see whether all these things are so. Lord, we thank you for repentance, for at some point, Lord, you changed our mind in thinking that the rapture was far off, to now knowing that it is so very near. Father God, I pray that you would keep us walking in repentance. Help us to walk and live just like a bride should before her wedding. Father God, I pray that we have the type of faith that you said you would be looking for when you return. The type of faith that pleases you, that's obedient, diligent, continuous, active, and engaged. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would increase our desire to know you, to be more like you, Lord Jesus. Father God, I pray that you would teach us what it means to be born again. Father, I pray that you would help us to invest in our relationship with you and to sever the relationship that we have with this world. Lord, may tonight, after this message, we be even more willing to lay down our life for you, just as you first laid down your life for us. Father God, anoint this message with your Holy Spirit. May it be amplified. May it be multiplied to the entire world, anybody who is not ready to stand before you May they be drawn to this message tonight. I pray, Lord, that this message would be sprinkled with the truth of your word, the salt of truth, and may it be illuminated by the light of your love. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we bind any and all spirits that would block this message from being heard or being understood and applied to our lives. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. May we decrease and may you, Lord Jesus, increase in our lives. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you guys are ready for a good Bible study, because this is really going to be a Bible study first. Then we're going to find out something remarkable concerning the Bible study, because this Bible study is a Revelation chapter 12. It's a dual prophecy. Okay, that means that it's prophesied about two events at two different times. Okay, so this prophecy, what they call a Suleiman prophecy, and it was the guy who ordered the walls to be rebuilt in Jerusalem in the year 1538. And so the walls were rebuilt at the time that he had determined that they should be rebuilt. And it's a prophecy concerning the coming of the Lord, because after those walls were rebuilt, there was a 483-year prophecy from the time they were built till the time Messiah the Prince would come, Jesus the King would come. So there's a 483-year prophecy. Now, you have to understand I don't know how to pronounce his name, Suleiman prophecy was had been prophesied before and already fulfilled. So many people who heard this prophecy said, oh, that was already fulfilled in the book of Daniel. And so, and when Jesus Christ came, so we don't really have to worry about that, because that prophecy was fulfilled. But it's a dual prophecy, meaning that it's going to happen once again. So count the years and see if it happens exactly the same again. So now, before we look at the prophecy, I want us, let me see if I want to do this. Let me pray. Okay. Do you guys see your notes there? Okay. If you look at it, see the black portion? That's taken from a video shoot that this guy did on Rumble, okay? And he was very excited about that the 1538 prophecy from Suleiman that began in 1538 AD. And he said, well, if you count 483 years forward, the coming of the King, which is Jesus Christ, should be in 2022. Now, I sent him a message and said, well, I did the calculator and it says from 1538, adding 483 years, is 2021. Do you see the notes? So I said, so either if 2021 is over, then this prophecy is over. So I have to explain to him the Hebrew calendar, that God's calendar starts from spring to spring and not from January to January. So, as we were looking at this, I was like, you can calculate it yourself. Go to your computer. And I said, 1538 plus 483 years is 2021, not 2022. So if 2021 is over, then this whole thing's over. But I said but there's good news. 2021 isn't over, which makes it that this prophecy should come true the same as it came true before. So, and it says, are the walls of Jerusalem pointing to 2022? That was his thing. And it says, when 69 weeks of years are finished, 483 years from the completion of the walls of Jerusalem, will the rapture and Daniel's 70th week begin? I believe Daniel's 70th week will begin in 2022, but before that, there's an event coming, okay? Okay, so you have to understand that this prophecy was prophesied before, and there is a reason to be excited about it. But let's look at the prophecy first by going to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. And we're going to be in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. All right, that's not the trumpet. Calm down. Okay, so here we have, it says in Daniel chapter 24, 77s are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgressions, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in an everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision of the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. It says, know and understand from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. So 7 plus 62 is 69. So he's saying 62 sets of 7 years. Okay. It says it will be rebuilt, the streets and the trenches, but in troubled times. Okay. So, listen to this. Then it says, after the 62 and 7, the anointed one will be cut off. And that is a Hebrew word that means it's karat. It means to cut, to have a blood covenant, but it also means to die for a capital crime. So the only way someone can fulfill this prophecy is that they would have to be karat in the Hebrew form of the word. That means they would have to start a blood covenant and they would have to die for a capital crime, for a crime. So the only one that could have done this was Jesus Christ. So they're letting you know that this is a prophecy that Jesus fulfilled. So from the issuing of the decree to rebuild the temple till 69 sets of seven, 483 years, then it says, then the prince or the Messiah will come. And then it says, after he comes, then later he'll be killed, okay? So when is the issuing of the decree to rebuild the temple? Who knows? Let's go to the book of Nehemiah. If you guys would have said Nehemiah, I would have been so impressed. Too late. Okay. Now, this is when the decree went out. Okay. There's a guy who wrote a book about this called The Coming Prince by Sir Robert Anderson. And this book was written in the 1800s. So people have been really studying the word for a while. Okay. So let's read this, what happened here. Okay. It says here, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, why does your face look so sad? when you are not ill. This can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruin and the gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said to me, what is it that you want? So Nehemiah is a servant to the king, and he's still sad over the destruction of Jerusalem because they destroyed the temple and they destroyed the walls. So he asked the king, he says, the king says, what do you want? And he says, then I prayed to God of heaven, and I answered the king, if it please the king, if your servant has found favor in your sight, let him send me to the city of Judah where my fathers are buried, so that I can rebuild it. Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, how long will your journey take, and when will you get back? It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also asked him, if it pleased the king, may I have a letter to the governor of Trans-Euphrates, so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel and for the temple and for the city walls and for the residents and I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of God was upon me, the king granted me my request. So I went to the governor of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letter, and the king had also set army officers and cavalry with me. Okay, now that stops there. So this is the decree to Nehemiah that he can go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and the trenches, right? So I'm going to read once again in Daniel. You don't have to go there. I'm there already. And it says here, 77s are decreed for your people and the holy city, to put an end to transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring an everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision of the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know and understand that from the issuing of the decree and rebuild of Jerusalem until the anointed ruler comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. So they're letting you know it's going to be 7 times 69, which is 483 years, and then the Messiah is going to come, okay? So this time from the decree all the way to the time that Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem was exact to the very day of the decree for him to go and rebuild. So here, let me read from our notes, okay? Let's go to our notes, first page down at the bottom where it says, The Coming Prince by Sir Robert Anderson. And it says, but the language of the prophecy is clear. From the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, when they say weeks, they're saying weeks of years. Jews have weeks of years, weeks of days, weeks of months. So they're talking about weeks of years. If I was reading it in Hebrew, it would be more clear. Okay. And it says, an era, therefore, of 69 weeks, 483 prophetic years, reckoned from the 14th of March of BC 445, should close with some event that satisfies the word until the Messiah, the Prince. So when these 483 years end, the Messiah, the Prince, should be arriving, okay? Now, this is 400 years before the fact, so let's continue. Go to the next page. Okay, so it says, the first Nisan in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, edict to rebuild Jerusalem, was the 14th of March, 445 BC. The 10th of Nisan is Passion Week, and Christ entered Jerusalem on the 6th. It was the 6th of what they used to call September, what was Nisan, but because the calendars hadn't been changed. Okay. To AD 32, the intervening period was 476 years and 24 days, being reckoned exclusively as required by the language and the prophecy according to the Jewish practice. 476 years, 365-day years, it would have been only 476 years. But they transformed it into 360-day years, because when the prophecy was given, a year was 360 days, not 365, okay? So they transfer it from the 476 years, which equaled 173,740 days, and it says 14th of March and the 6th of April, inclusive, and it says the 24th date, add the leap years, 116, you guys don't want to go through that, equal a total of 173,880 days, and the 69 weeks of prophetic years with 360-day years would be exactly 173,880 days. So when Sir Robert Anderson did this, he didn't do it by years. He did it by the exact amount of days from the issuing of the decree to do it. Okay? So when counting the issues of the decree to do it, the day that Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem on the donkey and everybody's waving palm branches is exactly 173,880 days to the exact day, okay? And if you want to have fun doing the math, you can, because I've done it, and I did it in 2006 and 2010. But the appearance of Jesus on the scene was counted to the exact day, to the day that he would come into Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan, that it would fulfill from the issuing of the decree from the king. Okay? So therefore, Jesus comes into Jerusalem. He's riding on a donkey. It's the 10th of Nisan. Okay? So for the next 4 days, they ask him all kinds of questions. Are you the Messiah? Are you the king? Are you this? Because when he enters, he's entering the same as a lamb, because they had to go and pick a lamb on the 10th of Nisan. So when Jesus arrived, he arrived sooner than the 10th of Nisan, because for the next 4 days, they had to examine him to make sure that the lamb had no guilt or anything wrong with him. So if he had been guilty of anything, he wouldn't have qualified to be our Savior. You understand? So the way Jesus arrived was on the 10th of Nisan, you must come into you must get the lamb. And then on the 14th of Nisan, you must kill the lamb. So he arrived on the exact day, 483 years later, 173,880 days. And Sir Robert Anderson counted it to the day, so that you would know that God prophesied Jesus' arrival over 400 years before he even came into Jerusalem. Okay?
That's crazy.
Now you get another guy many years later in 1583, And he declares that, because you know the temple had been destroyed again. He declares to rebuild the temple and the trenches in 1538 AD. So from the time he did it to 2021 is exactly 483 years. So you have one prophecy that happened exactly when it was supposed to happen, 483 years to the day. Then you have the double prophecy of Suleiman saying, rebuild the trenches. And it says, from that time, because the end of the prophecy is what? The coming of the Prince Jesus Christ. The end of the first prophecy was that Jesus was going to come, and he arrived exactly on time. The coming of the Suleiman prophecy is that 483 years from now, the king is going to appear. And here we are in that year, because I'm trying to tell the guy, it's not 2022. If you add, because he was going 2022. I said, well, I just did a computer, and I'm trying to tell you 1538 plus 483 years leads you to 2021, not 2022. But I said, I want to give you some good news. The Hebrew calendar is not over with. It's still 2021. So if you understand that the king is going to be crowned in Nisan, and that the people that are going to crown him must already be across the Jordan before the crowning ceremony. You understand? So everything, even the Suleiman prophecy, is now leading you to the exact same. So we have this, the first appearance of Jesus Christ and the 69 times 7 year prophecy happened to the exact point, to the exact day. And now we have another prophecy that leads to the exact time and the exact day 483 years later. So here we are waiting to see if, like before, it's going to happen again, okay? And this lines up with everything that I've been telling you. It happens before. If we get to 2022, the Suleiman prophecy is off, okay? If we get to 2022, then we're not crowning Jesus as king 6 months before the tribulation begins. So everything is falling just the way God said it was. And it doesn't matter whether the world believes it or not, it's what the scripture says. It's happened before, and we're going to wait to see if it's going to happen again. Okay. Did you guys understand that? Praise God. I thought that would be the hardest part. Okay. We're on page 2. Okay. Now, here it is. More evidence. Okay. So my friend Kevin, he says, I was listening to your message, your sermon again, and you were going over Psalms 117 and the number 2294, Psalms 21 having the numerical value of 2220. So I subtracted 220 from 2294, and it gave me the number 74. And what's the number 74? Lamed, it is the letter that appears in Psalms 121. 74 is Lamed. So if we looked at all of this math, we go, okay, this is impossible, okay? Because if you do the first four books and you come up to 153, that's the church, that's the fish, that's the 153 fish that are brought forward, which is considered the sons of God, the Benahai Elohim, is 153. So the first four books says this is about the sons of God. Then here, Deuteronomy, it says when you subtract 888, which is Jesus, it gives you 71, which is the Holy Spirit. When you subtract these books from this year, it gives you Jesus, 888. So it's like, it's so much, it's like, Okay, everything's leading to the same year. Like I said before, it has never, since the Lord called me in 2003, I have never had everything pointing to one year. I have never had everything saying, this is the time, this is the time. In every aspect of prophecy, it's all pointing to the same thing. Don't look at me crazy, because I'm sitting up here going, I can't wait to see what happens too, right? Because I understand and know, okay? Let me tell you something. If you have a good life, you might believe, if you have a good life, you might believe that you're living the best life ever until you get to heaven.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like children in the belly, right? There's nothing greater than this. Food comes down, we eat. It's so beautiful. And then you got, if you got twins in there, one sitting up in there talking about, yeah, but I heard, don't you believe in the mother, the great mother beyond? And the other kid's going, I don't want to believe nothing crazy. I love it where I'm at. I'm comfortable. And he's going, if you get real quiet, you can hear her speak sometime. It's like, man, you're crazy. Now you're saying that the great mother beyond talks to you? And so we're exactly the same way. We're in a birthing cycle, and the church has to be birthed out of the world. But because life is so comfortable for some people, okay, they can't. Now, for some children that are in the stomach, if it's uncomfortable, they can't wait to get out. But for most of us, we're like, it's pretty comfortable in the stomach, right? So we don't want to think about that God has something greater. You know what I mean? Kids out there eating ice cream, come on, get out of here. Man, you are crazy. All that, you know what I mean? You'd be like, people are walking? What do you mean walking? We float around in the water. You know what I mean? When food comes down, it would be like you're nuts. Well, I don't want to say, it doesn't get any better than this. You know what I mean? No, I'm telling you, there's ice cream out there. So I'm trying to get people to know and understand God has always planned greater life for you, okay? No pandemics, no colds, no sickness, nothing crazy going on, right? None of that, okay? So you're talking about a higher level of living that God has already planned, and he's proven it once by Jesus Christ appearing exactly when he said. And now he's gonna prove it again by Jesus Christ, because the end of each prophecy is the appearance of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
So anyway, as he did that, we come up with Lamed. Lamed is, of course, the shepherd's staff. It's in Psalms 121, which is for the year 2021. The Lamed, which is the shepherd's staff. Okay, let's go to the next page. Got me thinking about food. I'm trying to do it. I'm sitting up here. My back of my head is going, ribs. Be quiet. That Bible study teach. Okay. Now, before I had mentioned that there was a scripture that had the year 2028. Now listen to me. 70 years is a prophecy of a generation. But in Psalms 90, verse 10, God said, but for the nation of Israel, their generation will end in 80 years because of their arrogance and because of their rebellion against him. It's going to last 80 years, but it will fly away fast and they'll come home, right? But it's going to last 80 years. Their rebirth in 1948, okay? 80 years would be 2028. You understand? So In the Psalms 122, verse 2, and I think me and Kevin had did this before, but I couldn't find it, so I got a hold of him. I said, I misquoted that 2028 was in Psalms 121, but he said, no, I found it. It's in Psalms 122, verse 2. Psalms 122, verse 2 says, our feet shall stand within the gates of Jerusalem. But when? Because understand, 2028 is the end of the prophecy of Daniel. That means that Christ will have returned. He will be, he will have rescued Israel. They will be able to stand in the gates of Jerusalem victorious, okay? Well, Psalms 122, verse 2, in Hebrew Gematria, 2028. So it's giving you the year that they're going to stand in Jerusalem at peace, okay? So I want you guys to know and understand this. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 20. I mean, yeah, 24. And I'm going to be in verse 40. Matthew 24, verse 40, we're going to start at. Now, this is the event that's going to happen. Listen, it says two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other one left. Now, how do you express to people that the God that wrote this has made everything in the Bible and in the world that he said would happen has already happened, okay? So there's nothing written in the Bible that God wrote like, I'm just gonna write something just for the sake of writing it. Everything is going to happen. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other one left. He gives you the Greek words to say one will be taken as a friend or a companion, and then I think the word aphemi, the one left, it says the other one will be divorced, okay? Now, isn't that funny that word would be divorced? That means, see, because God was telling me even back in 2017, I used the word divorce because those are people that pretend to know me or they once knew me, but because of conduct and the way they're living, I'm going to divorce them on that day, okay? So, because you can't get divorced unless you've been married, right? So God's like, he says, this is not a message to non-believers. You telling non-believers, oh, you're going to get left behind. And like, I never was invited. You're not, what am I going to be left from? I was never invited. I never accepted an invitation to go anywhere. So you telling me as a non-believer, I'm going to get left. It doesn't make sense because I was never invited. I was never going anywhere. Right. But if you tell another Christian who's living a lukewarm, halfway hypocritical life that be prepared for the rapture, because when it comes, you don't want to be aphemi. You don't want to be divorced, okay? Because a lot of people are thinking, even if I accepted Christ when I was 12, it don't matter how much fornication or people I robbed or you know, whatever I did in life, it doesn't matter because I said that one prayer when I was 14. And so they don't really understand what a relationship with God is, okay? Or it's comfortable for them to not understand a relationship with God. Okay, let's continue reading. It says, therefore, keep watch. Is your writing in red? Because mine's in red. Yeah. That means this is a commandment from Jesus. Amen. Oh, man. Lord said, calm down, big fella. This is a commandment from Jesus. Therefore, keep watch. Because you do not know what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time the thief was coming, he would have kept what? Watch, and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready. Because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect. Why is it that you're not expecting Jesus to come? Because you're not watching. It's uncomfortable to watch. Yeah. It's the same as telling the baby, watch, because we're going to be birthed out of here soon. I'm comfortable. I don't want to watch. And see, once you get comfortable and you start thinking this is it, that's when Satan's trying to draw you.
Like, this is what it's all about, you know. You got to do whatever it is to get whatever you can here, because this is what it's all about. You know what I mean? You don't want your pie in the sky, you want your pie now. That was the Benny Hinn message, right? You want your pie now. No, I want my pie in the sky. I want the better life,
right?
Okay? Because the person that rose up from the grave said that I'm going to have a body just like him. And I would just love to be sitting here talking to you guys, and then the next minute I'd be in Texas. And y'all are like, where'd he go? Because Jesus was like, he'd be sitting there talking, and then the next minute he's gone. Or somebody's locked, he's locked out of the door, and then Jesus just appears inside. He's like, he had to open the door, then he ate, then he hugged people. I mean, he had a full life, but he was showing you, when you get resurrected, you're going to be just like him. Because he's got to have a bride that's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, just like me. You understand? So he's looking forward to you understanding what better living is. I can't believe people think this is the best. I mean, come on. Okay, watch this. Okay. It says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of his servants and his household to give them food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possession. It says, but suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time, and then begins to beat the fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You understand? I can't be a hypocrite if I'm not trying to pretend to be a Christian. You understand? If I'm not a Christian, I can't be a hypocrite. I'm just being who I am.
Right.
But he's, once again, the Lord's letting me know, I'm talking to my people who I left, and I gave them an assignment to what to do when I leave. I told them to watch and be in expectation of my return. And then the Lord returns, and then the person's not ready, and he says, these hypocrites, they will not enter the kingdom of God. Now, here, let me look this up. Did you put, oh, yeah, here it is. Here it is. The word watch is Gregorio in Greek. It means give strict attention to something, right? Be cautious. Active to take heed lest though you fall into remission. And it said indolence, which I looked up, and that means idleness, laziness, lifelessness, slothfulness, shiftlessness, sluggard, staggered, doziness, meaning you're falling asleep. This is how you handle your Christianity. You understand? You're not reading anymore. You're not fellowshipping anymore. You're not praying anymore. It's not a relationship to you anymore. Okay? And we don't really understand. See, God has feelings. Do you know when God's, it said, when he saw all of the sin of man, it said, God, astav, it uses a Hebrew word, said astav, which means to weep bitterly over the sin, over man, saying, and God astav. We don't think God has feelings. You know, God gets in a relationship. He's all in love with you. You're like, I can't wait to get you to heaven. I'm building you a place. I'm so glad I'm in your life. And then you treat him like, you know, you're not in a relationship. It's not good. You understand? And God is like, I'm trying to get people to understand the difference between being religious and going to church and being in a relationship with me day to day. There's a big difference. Okay. Now we got one more thing to read here. And let's see, is it
secrets. I believe we had one more. Or maybe that was it. Okay. Yeah, that was it. Oh, look, that was the word, hypocrite. An actor, a stage player, a pretender. You could call wheats and tares, okay? You got real Christians and you got tares. And guess what? When the rapture happens, God says he's sending professional harvesters that know how to pull up the wheat and to leave the tares, okay? We have to understand really what's going on, okay? I posted on my Facebook today, your president, I say your president because I didn't vote for it. He was saying that they were on his way to Europe to meet with NATO, and he said it's about to be a new world order, and we have to make sure NATO and the European community that we are ahead of the game, so that we are leaders in this. Okay, so when I heard that, I'm like, okay, now listen to this. This is crazy. And I'm gonna bring it tomorrow morning, but when World War I started, all the numbers for World War I was 68. When World War II started, all the numbers for World War II was 68. When the Ukraine war started, all the numbers were 68. So God knows it's a world war before it started. Okay, it was 68, okay? I looked up the 68 in Hebrew, and it means repent and return, and it's the word shuv. So return to me, God is saying, okay? So understand that it's something very strange that all three world wars, because the first world war started on the 9th of Av, which is a God day, you understand? Right. So God knew when it was gonna start. That means God knew when the second one was gonna start, and he knows when the third one is gonna start, and here we are, and everything is falling into place. And I'm trying to tell you, there's ice cream on the other side. There's kids, there's slides. I heard they got a slide that you can slide around and you land in the sand and you play basketball with other kids. It's awesome, right? But if you don't believe that there's life outside of the tummy, that's up to you, okay? But I'm praying, I'm listening for that beautiful voice. Yeah. If you get quiet long enough, you can hear her say, I love you. Right? You can hear God speaking to you if you get quiet enough. And I'm telling you, life is about to change for people who want the change, okay? Don't let people lie to you and tell you that you can live any kind of way you want and you're still going to enjoy all the greatness of God. I'm trying to tell you, God has so many warnings in the Bible that he says, don't tempt me. He even says, the scripture we read on Sunday, he says, don't tempt me. He said, I told him while they were walking in the wilderness, do not tempt me. You know, you don't, guys, see, did our mothers used to say that? You say, don't tempt me. Don't tempt me, boy. And you scoot a little bit closer to the door, pow! You like, oh! So I'm not going to tempt God. I'm going to live the way he wants us to live. I'm rejoicing over the day that's coming, and I really can't wait, because it's to me, it's like the greatest event of all time. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay.
I didn't even get a chance to say 10 minutes.
That's good, man, because I'm thinking like back table.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Keep going. We still rolling.
All right. Ryan's going to pray us out.
That was it.
I thought that was enough. Like, how is it that the other prophecy came true and here we are 2021? It's exactly 483 years from the Suleiman thing. And all this is happening. That was enough.
I feel like
huh?
I got shortchanged.
No, it's not that, but we're in the exact year. It has to happen in the 2021 year. It can't happen in the 2020, and that's before April 2nd. That's what I'm saying. So I'm just ready to go. All right.
Okay.
Pray us out.
Praise God.
Father God, we thank you for this time in your word. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father, we pray, God, that you would light a fire under each of us.
Hallelujah.
To do your work while there's still time. Lord, help us to hear your voice. Help us to be courageous, to be obedient, to share the love and the truth of the gospel. Lord, help us to give the warning about what's to come. And may we all repent if needed. May we all ask for forgiveness of any sin, any iniquity, any trespass. Lord, we love you. Teach us your grace, that the magnitude of that grace and the proper response to it. Help us to live for you. We thank you for Pastor Sandy. We pray, God, that you would give him rest tonight, and that, Lord, tomorrow he would come with a fresh word from the throne room, and that we would hear your voice and would be obedient. We praise you, Father God. We thank you for sending your son. May we be ready to stand before him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Where'd he go?
Oh, I'm over here, man. My